In a world of shadows, one man brings the light. Your host, Owen Schroyer.
I'm just going to put this out in the TikTok world. I'm a little bit frustrated. This is regarding student loans. If you don't give a crap about student loans, you can just be on your way. I have been paying on my student loan since 2008. I have never been delinquent. I have never missed a payment. And I've always made the payment that is requested. And even I've made additional payments or sometimes more than my payment. I have been in the forgiveness plan since 2008. Now, when I graduated college with my degree in education, I left with a little under $28,000 in student loans. I, to date, have paid $37,000 back to my student loans since 2008, but I still owe like $58,000. The math isn't mathing. I'm not great at math, but the math isn't mathing there. So I've actually paid off my student loans. I was rolled over into the SAVE plan. And if you aren't aware, SAVE plan currently is in litigation and it has been in forbearance, which means that you do not have to make any payments and there's no interest accruing. However, our lovely government has now decided that starting August 1st, less than 30 days notice, interest is going to start accruing on your student loans. So yes, think about that. Your loan is in forbearance. It's in the middle of litigation, lawsuits. You aren't required to make payments, but now interest is going to accrue, which means it's just basically going to drive up your balance. Can you make payments towards just the interest? Yes, of course you can. But I've been seeing a lot on TikTok, people are like, you need to find a way to get out of the SAVE plan. Okay, let's go see. I applied back in January, was told I wasn't eligible. They would then consider me for some other type of plan. Okay, well, here it is July 10th, and I contacted my servicer, Advantage, and they said they don't know. They directed me back to the studentaid.gov, and because it's been more than 6 months, they told me to submit an application. Working on my said application, it now tells me my repayment plan option. Yes, my payments are going to double, and I'm looking at about $900 or so a month, I guess. It's an estimate. The problem I have with this is, as of today, in the SAVE plan, my forgiveness is now January of 2028. Prior to the litigation and everything going in forbearance, my forgiveness was January of 2027. I still make payments, even though I'm not required, and those payments do not count towards my payoff. They're just payments. If I opt, according to the studentaid.gov, if I opt to go into the only payment plan I am given, my student loan forgiveness starts over. According to this, it says I will now start again for 25 years. So 300 months, which means my forgiveness now would take effect of May of 2032. Make this make sense. Make this make sense to me. Like, I am almost there. So do I just sit in the SAVE plan and pay the interest until the government, who has already said
these are the issues younger Americans are staring at? Just so you get an idea of why they're feeling so disenfranchised and why they're going to vote somebody like Mom Donnie into the mayor's office in New York City, why somebody like AOC is on the rise in the Democrat Party, why Democrat socialists are likely going to take over the entire party once the Schumers and the Pelosis are retired. It's because of issues like this. And make no mistake about it, these are Americans that would probably be right wing. These are Americans that would probably be conservative, but they don't have anybody on the right addressing these issues. They're not hearing from anybody on the right to take care of this stuff. They're just insulted, told it's their fault, instead of somebody actually trying to offer them solutions that doesn't result or involve in communism. All right, we got other news to cover on the other side.
Yeah. You just saw an ad for methylene blue. Tell people the short-term effect and then now the long-term effect.
Yeah, it gives you a good energy boost. I use it before I work out. So if I'm going to be doing kettlebell workouts, like I do some methylene blue about a half hour before. Gives you mental focus. I don't crash afterwards. That's good stuff. I need some more.
How fast did it kick in?
About 15, 20 minutes. I take about a half hour before my workout.
And then you're saying you're almost out of the bottle. Was that 3 weeks ago, a month ago?
Yeah, something like that. You give me the liquid and the pills, too.
You're almost out of both?
Yeah, I'm almost out of both.
Oh, my goodness. Well, all right. I'll give you more. Right. For the audience, we can't give it to everybody. We need your support, theoxygensword.com. For me personally, the first week I got on it, I actually started to hurt myself because the workouts were so crazy. My trainer goes, dude, what's going on? Like 3 days into it. I go, I don't know.
I like it better than doing like a five-hour energy shot because those will make you crash afterwards. This doesn't have the crash.
See, that no crash.
Right.
If you'll just try, you'll be hooked, and we can fund the operation. It's a win-win. Now's the time. Get the methylene blue, bare minimum, theoxygensword.com.
The man who dares to defy the deep state narrative, Owen Schroyer.
All right, we played the clip of Marjorie Taylor Greene to open the show, and she's way ahead of this. And I think the future of the Republican Party is now Thomas Massie and Marjorie Taylor Greene. And I actually do like J.D. Vance. But we'll see what happens after 4 years of President Trump. But I don't think Trump politics are going to end up having the staying power that we originally had thought. Now, he arrests the deep state and delivers on the greatest economy of all time and stops these wars, then yes. I'd say those are the three things. If he can check all three of those boxes, then Trump politics will become a multi-generational thing and basically he can hand the reins over to Vance or whoever he wants after he's done. But if those three things are not delivered on, then it opens up the door for a new brand of Republican conservative that will ultimately look and sound more like a Thomas Massie, a Marjorie Taylor Greene politically. Now, Marjorie Taylor Greene also posted this. Now, this is in response to something that Scott Bessent is up to. U.S. Congress urges Treasury Secretary Bessent to investigate Ireland's proposed boycott of Israel. The United States must send a clear signal that efforts to economically isolate Israel will carry consequences. Why would this even be on our map, folks? You know? Why are we now getting involved in Ireland's politics over what they have a foreign policy issue with Israel over? Why? And by the way, I'm no fan of Maduro and the communists in Venezuela. Let's be perfectly clear. No fan. But you know why he's being targeted now too, don't you? Because he's anti-Israel. He's anti-Netanyahu. He's called out Netanyahu as a war criminal. And I would also say there's probably another angle in there with the oil that he's just storing up. So again, I'm not endorsing Maduro. Not a good guy. But the whole reason why now he's being targeted by this administration is because he's anti-Israel. And now they're going after Ireland because they've got a foreign policy over Israel. It's ridiculous. Is this the American government or the Israeli government? So Marjorie Taylor Greene says this. What's happening? America's economic power and success should not be used as a blunt force weapon against other countries on behalf of Israel's economy, which, by the way, we subsidize. I'm a big supporter of Secretary Bessent as he is working hard to level the playing field for America, but Congress, who is overwhelmingly controlled by multiple foreign governments, especially the secular government of Israel, is fighting for Israel first. I'll give you an example. I'm in Texas visiting family, and I've talked to a lot of people here. Beef is at an all-time high, and I'm happy for those cattle ranchers because they got hurt a few years back from a big drought, however, that is hitting people hard at the checkout line at the grocery stores. The average American is barely getting by, and this is what Congress should be fighting for. My confused colleagues are blinded and have forgotten that their job title is representative in the United States House of Representatives. So you see, what I read from this too because I've just learned this through experience, most people in the political world, specifically people in D.C., they really are completely separated now from the common American. They have no idea the average American's experience, that they have no idea the average American's issues. They're completely disconnected. They live in a D.C. political bubble, or they live in a bubble where they have no financial concerns, so they're just totally unfamiliar with it. I actually talk to a lot of people. I actually get out of my house, go to dinner, you know, talk to bartenders, waiters, waitresses, people that work at the gym, friends at the gym, people I play ball with. I mean, they all are saying the same stuff. And it's clear to me, Marjorie Taylor Greene, she's tuned into this. She's talking to people. She's hearing what they're saying. I would put it like this, actually. I thought of this the other day because I kept getting these same messages. In 2015 and 16, now I started working here in 2016. But in 2015, when Trump came down the golden elevator and gave his opening speech, I thought, okay, this is interesting. This is a businessman. I mean, really, I think we all kind of saw what needed to be done. We needed, really, quite frankly, we needed a billionaire businessman with a massive public profile and name recognition to get involved in politics, because that's kind of the only shot we have as getting an outsider in to actually represent the interests of the American people, who's not just a bought and paid for politician. So as soon as he did that, I was like, oh, okay. And it didn't take long for me to go all in for Trump. And so you've seen the street videos, you know, my YouTube channel's been nuked. But if you went back and saw my 2015 stuff, 2016 stuff, you would have seen that I was standing up for Trump hardcore. All the stuff we did here at InfoWars, you know, it's all been nuked off YouTube. But there's still hours of it. Other people have archived. I was standing up hardcore for Trump when he was getting attacked by the right wing, the likes of Ben Shapiro, Mark Levin, when he was getting attacked by all corporate media on the right and the left, when he was getting attacked from the Republican Party, and they wouldn't fund his campaign. He had to run his own campaign, fund his own campaign. And it was still like taboo to support Donald Trump. It was like, you're the bad guy at that time if you support Donald Trump. Well, maybe I like being the bad guy, or maybe I just am you know, I'm convicted in my beliefs, so I there was no other way for me to go. So I start getting messages in 2015 that are like, you know, thank you for supporting Trump. Thank you for saying this about Trump. Thank you for calling this out. It was like, hey, you know, we can't talk about it. You know, we like Trump, but thank you. Like, thank you for doing this. Thank you for taking the stand. Thank you for being brave. Some people may remember this. You may have been around in 2015. You may have not have been, but that's what it was like. It was like, if you were going to go out publicly in politics as a Trump supporter, you were going to be the bad guy. You were going to be the bad guy. You were going to get attacked. You were going to get laughed at. You were going to get called a racist, a misogynist, a homophobe, everything. And there were a few voices that were willing to stand up and say it proud and take the slings and arrows. So I was getting all kinds of incoming emails, texts, phone messages, everything. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. You're so brave. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Okay. Well, fast forward 10 years, 2025. The same thing is happening now, except with Israel. Now it's like, oh, thank you for saying this about Israel. Thank you for saying this about Netanyahu. No one else will say it. Everybody's too scared. Oh, I can't say it because of the field I'm in. Oh, I can't say it because I'm in D.C. Or, oh, I can't say it because of this. But thank you. Keep it up. Keep doing it. It's the exact nature of what I was getting in 2015 for supporting Trump. Now, look at what's happened with that in 10 years. What do you think is going to happen with Israel in 10 years? Oh, you start to get it? It's what I've been telling you. So I don't know why it's like Marjorie Taylor Greene is the only person that sees this. Well, I should retract that. She's not the only person that sees this. She's one of the very few people that doesn't take AIPAC money. I'll leave it at that. I mean, but yeah, it in 10 years, it'll be so mainstream to be anti-Israel that it's going to blow your mind. So if you can even comprehend it, where Trump supporters were at 10 years ago, being the most hated people in politics, the most attacked people in politics, the black sheep, the taboo people in politics for supporting Trump, and now look at it, Trump is the establishment. Everybody supports Trump. It's going to be the same thing with the Israel issue in 10 years. Everybody will be anti-Israel. We'll be done with it. So I say all that because listen to Mike Johnson. I mean, they don't even hide it, folks. And so I thought about kind of doing this bit, you know, because we have this whole gaslighting about Qatar. It's like, show me one Qatar flag in the United States Congress. You won't find it. You'll find dozens of Israeli flags. Show me our foreign policy that Qatar is influencing. You can't. It's all Israel. So it's this whole gaslighting. It's like, oh, yeah, Qatar spends a bunch of money. Everybody spends a bunch of money. We give money to Israel. They don't spend money here. They already own us with blackmail. These other countries, yeah, they try to buy influence. They actually send money in. Israel's not sending money in. They're just draining us. They're just taking our money. So it's really a bad deal either way. So I've thought about doing this bit where it's like every time we see this, I'll just say it's Qatar because everybody will get it. So it's like, oh, here's Mike Johnson in Qatar with the giant Qatar lobby telling Americans how great Qatar is. So let's go to Mike Johnson in Qatar with the American Qatari Political Action Committee. Clip 19.
Hi, Mike Johnson, Speaker of the House, United States Congress. We're here in Jerusalem. I've just joined the APAC trip with all of our freshman members. The Republican members are on this trip, and Democrat members will come in a couple of days. It's a great time, a very important time, a historic time to be here in Israel, to stand with our close ally and friend, and to give them the encouragement to know that leaders in Congress are with them in these very challenging times. We're so grateful to APAC for doing this trip annually. It's something that all the members look forward to. It's a great piece of education at a really important time in history. Thanks so much to everybody who made this possible. We're fans of yours. God bless.
Yeah, that's right, folks. Every freshman member of Congress goes to Qatar because Qatar's our greatest ally. And so it's important for them to go to Qatar and be educated, you see, as Mike Johnson says. Our most important ally, Qatar, he's in Qatar with the big Qatari American pack. And every freshman, every congressional freshman, they have to go to Qatar. They go, every single one, every single congressional session. They all have to go to Qatar and be educated. Don't you get it? That's Qatar. They run things. It's not Israel, because if it was, then you wouldn't have stories like this. Sephora urged to drop Huda Beauty cosmetic line after founder claims that Israel caused world wars. Well, see, that's Qatari influence. You're not allowed to criticize Qatar and claim that Qatar started world wars. That will get you shut down, don't you see? Israel has no influence. Okay, I'm going to say something negative about Israel. You're going to lose your business. We're going to shut you down. Now, if it was an Israeli company and they got boycotted, that would be illegal. But see, this is how ridiculous it is. I can go online. You can spend an hour online. Go find the craziest content you want. Go find the biggest conspiracy theories you want. No, nobody's threatening to shut these people down. Nobody's censoring these people, attacking these people, lawsuits, boycotts. It's only for one specific issue and country. And yes, despite my sarcasm, it's not Qatar. Oh, Israel has no influence. Oh, okay, really? I'm going to criticize Israel. Okay, we're going to shut you down and boycott you. How do you like that? How do you like that? And don't be surprised when there's a little other issue we have in Europe, not just with the Irish, but now with the Germans, now with Slovenia. Germany suspends arm exports to Israel over Gaza occupation. Oh, well, look out, Germany. Probably increased tariffs coming for you. Slovenia introduces ban on imports from Israeli-occupied territories. So Israel occupied territories, are they banning imports from America too? Oh, right. Slovenia to ban imports of Israeli settlement goods. Why is Slovenia the only EU country to ban arms trade with Israel? Well, now Germany's in on it too. You've seen the backlash in France and other countries. And then they get a call from the White House that says, if you do something against Israel, we increase tariffs 500%. Oh, that's the Qatari influence. Obviously. Now, Netanyahu said what we knew all along. Now they're just public about it. So first they attack you and they call you names. And then Netanyahu comes out and confirms everything that we've said. I mean, specifically, literally, I've been saying that Israel will not go on the ground because they don't want to get their soldiers blown up. But the whole plan is to take the Gaza Strip. So now Netanyahu, like, oh, this is our new military strategy. Here's Netanyahu. Oh, this is the new strategy. This was never the strategy all along since October 7th. That's why they stood down. No, this is now what Israel has decided to do. And, of course, it's Fox News delivering you this Israeli propaganda here in clip 20.
You will go immediately into a meeting with your security cabinet. Will Israel take control of all of Gaza?
We intend to, in order to assure our security, remove Hamas there, enable the population to be free of Gaza, and to pass it to civilian governance. That is not Hamas and not anyone advocating the destruction of Israel. That's what we want to do. We want to liberate ourselves and liberate the people of Gaza from the awful terror of Hamas.
Of course, all of that is a lie. There's not going to be a Palestinian Gaza government. It's going to be all Israel. They don't give a damn about the population. They've probably killed about 5% of the population, and they've completely destroyed the entire region. Now, guys, I'm sorry. There should have been a second clip. Do we have? See if you guys can find the clip where he talks about why they've just decided to level the Gaza Strip. I forgot to send that one to you. See if you guys can find that one. Now, there's a former Israeli intelligence asset who has written books, who's now doing interviews, and I didn't send this to you guys because they're like 30-minute interviews this guy's doing. But you can find him. His name is Ari Ben Menash. Ari Ben Menash. He's written books, Prophets of War, Inside the Secret U.S.-Israeli Arms Network. And again, worked with Israeli intelligence. And he's going and doing interviews now, and he's saying exactly what I've been saying. He's saying that Israel is doing the Epstein drip, drip, drip to try to get Trump to get involved in their regime change war with Iran. So you have, that's what I'm saying, like, it's kind of strange. I have this other story on my desk. Liberals are saying that this is a liberal comedian who's not even funny. It's actually really pathetic watching her comedy. She says, I'm not kidding or exaggerating when I say this. They're going to kill unhoused people. She's talking about Trump becoming the task force head of the 2028 Olympics. So the liberal conspiracy theory is they're going to kidnap all the homeless and have them killed. I'm now in this weird deal where, like, I'm no longer the conspiracy theorist. I'm not even a conspiracy theorist anymore. I don't even really do much conspiracy theorizing. I just present reality. And I'm like, wow, the liberals are the conspiracy theorists now. You'd say, oh, it's a conspiracy theory that Israel is just bombing the Gaza Strip to avoid blowing up soldiers. No, it's not. Oh, it's just a conspiracy theory. It's just a conspiracy theory that Israel is going to take the Gaza Strip. Oh, now they admit it. It's really weird. Actually, it's just a conspiracy theory that Israel's doing the drip, drip, drip on the Epstein stuff to influence Trump. Israeli spy comes out and says that's exactly what's happening. So I'm not even really a conspiracy theorist anymore. Did we find that clip, guys? I know you have something on the side screen here. Yes, there it is. I'm sorry. Okay, we do have the clip. So I'm not a conspiracy theorist. Unless Netanyahu's a conspiracy theorist, because listen to him saying exactly what I've been saying for months. Go ahead.
In the southern town of Rafah, near the Sinai Desert in Egypt, and that town has been flattened. And you have been accused of genocide. How do you respond to that?
Well, as Ambassador Huckabee said, if we're practicing genocide, we're surely doing a very bad job of it, because we could have, basically eliminated the entire population of Gaza, but we went the other direction. We did something that no army in history ever did. We're supplying humanitarian food to the enemy's population because we distinguish between combatants and non-combatants. We put in 2 million tons
pause
of
this
food.
Real quick. He gets to it eventually here. Can you believe this guy? I'm amazed. And I understand that the AIPAC lobby has bought our Congress, okay? I get that. This is just absurd. Bibi Netanyahu pretending to be the humanitarian? Bibi Netanyahu pretending like Israel is the good guy in this equation? I mean, it's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. It's like if Satan himself was sitting at the desk saying, I'm the good guy. I love humans. I wouldn't hurt anybody. I wouldn't deceive anybody. Netanyahu, oh, we're the good guys here. We're delivering it. We care about people. Whatever, Bill Hemmer doesn't want to push back. I get it. It's all propaganda anyway. It's just, who still believes this guy? I'm amazed. I am truly amazed at anybody left that still supports Netanyahu. A disgusting, lying warmonger. Now he gets to the part, oh, I'm the conspiracy theorist saying that they won't send in the IDF because they don't want to get blown up. Oh, really? Yeah, here's Netanyahu, the conspiracy theorist, telling you exactly that.
I mean, if we wanted to commit genocide, we wouldn't give 2 million tons of food to the population. And also, the reason you see the flattened buildings is because Hamas booby traps every single building. So when we come in, we first have the population moved, even though Hamas tries to keep them in the combat zones. But after they move and we start to move into the neighborhoods that are now populated only by terrorists, they ignite these booby traps. So what we do is we put in an APC, an armored personnel carrier, with a lot of explosives, detonate it. It sets off all the booby traps, and the buildings begin to collapse as a result of that. They're empty buildings. They're not populated buildings.
Now, a lot of people are actually saying he's lying about that, but he's actually being honest about that. Now, he might be exaggerating to say it's every building, but no, actually, if he's being honest about anything, he's actually, that is one thing he's being honest about. So it's strange. I'm not even a conspiracy theorist anymore, folks. I'm really not. I just deliver the truth. I really don't even conspiracy theorize anymore. I just deliver you the facts. I call balls and strikes, play by play. No, they will not send in. They will not send in the IDF on the ground because they don't want their troops getting blown up. That's the fact. So they just bombed the whole thing. That's it. And it was all part of the plan. Stand down on October 7th, level the entire Gaza Strip, and then move in and claim it and bring in the Israeli settlers. That was the plan the entire time. And anyone else acting like that wasn't the case is either a moron or a liar. Because you're now only one step away from Netanyahu admitting that was the plan the whole time. You're one step away. Now, he's saying, okay, we're going to go in there and we're going to take Gaza, but we're going to give it to the Palestinians. We're going to give them... Israel put the Hamas leadership in charge. It was always a controlled opposition. So he says that now. No. The Israelis are already moving in. They're already getting ready to settle. They're probably already signing the contracts with BlackRock and Vanguard. And then you'll see it. 100% confirmed. That was the plan the whole time. There's a reason why supplements are so big and so popular and have such a great result. It's because whether it's your diet, whether it's your exercise routine, the point is you're lacking in some very important vitamins, very important minerals that can make you healthier, live longer, and feel better.
We're also under constant attack, Owen, and that's what's very important. So the modern human living experience, the environment that we subject ourselves to, it's the equivalent of smoking like a couple packs of cigarettes every single day. Like that's the bad food that we eat, that's the poison in the water, XYZ.
So it's kind of like what happens is, Rex Jones in studio with me, we're about to make a very exciting new product announcement here. So what ends up happening is, whether it's the modern day diet or whether it's the modern day atmosphere or whether it's, you know, a sedative state, you're not getting whatever it is you need to make your body function at its highest capabilities.
Absolutely correct. And that's why we created these two new formulas that are now live at thealexjonesstore.com. So we've got Methyl Drive here, and we've also got Power Plant. Now, both of them, at their core, they do around the same type of thing. It's increasing fuel for you to create new mitochondria. It's increasing mitochondrial efficiency. It's reducing oxidative stress and XYZ, other things like that. Now, I want to single out Power Plant really quick. If you're a guy and you're looking for a boost, a healthy, sustainable testosterone boost, we made Power Plant specifically for someone that wants to increase their free testosterone.
I remember when I was looking into supplements and stuff and different things, like, you know, people don't get enough boron. They don't even know what boron is. And I remember one thing that always stuck in my head, and that's, you know, it's just true. Well, what does boron kind of rhyme with, folks? I'll just leave it at that. You know what I mean?
We've got bits and pieces of a system here that comes together and provides you just the antioxidant support you need, the testosterone support you need, the mitochondrial health support you need. It's all there. It's all together. It's in both of these products. You could take both of these at the same time and experience a heck of a lot of benefits. Now, I would say younger, older. You're an older person. You need more overall body support. You need the overall antioxidant support. I would go with the Methyl Drive. But if you're a younger person or someone looking for a performance boost, I would go with the Power Plant.
I can enhance what I'm doing here maybe like tenfold with the right supplement routine.
Absolutely. I totally agree with that statement. Look, the reason why this is called Power Plant is because it has cordyceps in it. Now, of course, the mitochondria is the powerhouse of the cell and all that, but cordyceps is like an elite top tier S tier ingredient, which increases the amount of ATP you make, which indirectly helps you make more mitochondria, but beyond that, increases your oxygen carrying capacity. So you want to talk about workouts, you want to talk about power, you want to talk about strength, talk about Power Plant.
And that's what you need, especially when you're doing a heavy lift and you need to have good breathing, or you're doing long form cardio and you need to have strong breathing. That's where this is going to come into play. And when you started to talk about the new product that we just came out with the PQQ and the CoQ10.
Yes, the Methyl Drive.
Folks, I'm telling you, it's like, if I had to do a list of like, okay, if someone said you can pick five things that you're going to get in a supplement, like what are the most important things? Guarantee you, you ask me 100 times, PQQ and CoQ10 are on that list for me 100 times.
Vitamin B12, as-methylcobalamin, the good kind. Magnesium, coenzyme Q10, CoQ10, PQQ. Black pepper for absorption. You can't ask for a better catch-all, really. And the synergy that both of these products have with the Methylene Blue is unparalleled. You will not find a better product on the market that's targeted in that specific way, because we made these for you, the customer, and for ourselves, because we believe in the product. We take the product.
TheAlexJonesStore.com to get these new products. Try them for yourself. I know they're going to become a staple. I see Rex working out here every once in a while. We've worked out in the gym every once in a while. And, you know, he's really excited about this stuff. TheAlexJonesStore.com.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Beacon of truth in a world of deceit. It's the War Room with Owen Schroyer.
Hey, this is your friendly reminder as we're halfway through the show. We'll get into the odds here. We'll get into some of the betting odds. It's hot. It's hot right now. After another female toy landed on a WNBA basketball court the other night, some people got a 4-1 payout if you bet on the color purple. The individual has been arrested, but this is your friendly reminder halfway through the show. More people have been arrested for throwing dildos on a WNBA court than Jeffrey Epstein clients. Have a nice day, America. Okay, and with that, you like that one, Sal? With that, we bring in my next guest, Sal Greco. You got a kick out of that one. Is there a WNBA team in New York City? There's got to be, right? There's probably there'll be. You know what I would do, Sal? And we got some serious topics here, but you know what? It's a Friday. Let's have some good time.
Of course.
Sal, I got a business proposition for you. Before we get into the serious stuff, can I make a business proposition for you?
Sure.
The New York Liberty, right? That's the team in New York. It's the New York Liberty. I think they won the championship last year.
Yes.
They've got a three-point shooter on the team. She's got some European name, that blonde girl. They may have some other good players, Ibashku or something like that. What I would like to do here, you and I, let's make an investment, a joint investment. I'll take other investors that are tuned in. Let's open a female sex toy shop right next to every WNBA arena. It doesn't have to be a big enterprise. We don't need much space. We just need a small little countertop. That's it. You know, just a couple in stock every day. We'll upcharge you. And then you can walk right into the arena and, you know, whatever you want to do, it's your business. It's not our business what you end up doing with that object. I think it's I'm looking for business opportunities here, Sal.
I'm sure they're going to prosecute that person to the fullest extent of the law. Meanwhile, they leave people like Eric Adams, who's the criminal mayor of New York City, out free. He's out in the open as long as he's sitting there banging a drum. Oh, I love Trump. Now Trump, by the way.
Wait a second. Hold on a second. No. Are you telling me that dildo throwers are going to experience the long dick of the law?
That's right. Oh, they're going to get it all right. You know, if you know what I mean. They're going to get it, if you know what I mean. That's what's going to happen. Okay. This guy's going to get it. And meanwhile, the real criminals are running rampant in New York City, all over the place. And, don't worry about it. Oh, they beat up our cops in the street? Oh, no, that's nothing. That's just a skim, a little slap on the wrist, a little summons. That's okay. You're throwing dildos on the court. Oh, no. You got to do some serious time. We want money. He'll probably get banned for life from MSG for that. But, you know, they have, like, these transgender people and all these crazy people walking in there doing all kinds of crazy stuff, but that's okay. The dildo guy, the guy selling dildos, that's the guy we gotta completely go after him and destroy his life.
It's the greatest thing that's actually ever happened to the WNBA, if you ask me. but that's for another conversation. All right, I'm covering the new Project Veritas video.
Hell yeah.
And this gal who's now blowing the whistle and showing all of her notes, talking about how Bill Barr was part of this targeting operation, which is extremely concerning considering he was the acting attorney general under President Trump. And you know, I think there's a lot of other questions for maybe just generally Americans to get into as far as what led to that. But as far as this Project Veritas video is concerned, I know that you have kind of your own take on this with your own, let's say, political intel here. What is your response to what has been revealed by this lady in the Project Veritas video?
Well, I'd like to say, first of all, I just got a text from just a couple of minutes ago. This came to me, attention-wise, by our good friend Roger Stone. He sent this to me last night, and I looked at it, and I said, oh, boy. First of all, I did a little bit of a digging. So this female that's on here, number one, I know she has a shoddy track record. She's made allegations in the past. I am telling you, though, as a former police officer, I know this game. Just because someone has a prior history doesn't mean that they're not telling the truth. Or if they have an axe to grind, they're not telling the truth. Because right there, she's showing you notes. She has damaging.
So you're saying you're saying you can flip bad guys.
Correct. As long as they have evidence, meaning documents, you have to have something. In this case, she has pictures. She has documents to prove a lot of what she says already. And in fact, Armstrong Williams, who I happen to know, I've been on his show. Armstrong Williams has gone after her character, but not refuted anything that she has said. She's shown a lot of text messages that said, destroy your burner phones. Where have I heard that before? Yeah, Eric Adams, burner phones. What is that about? What are you walking around with burner phones for? If you're not doing anything that's not questionable by the law, Owen. So first, I'm going to say, even if her shoddy record, we'll say, from the past, whatever she did in Brazil, don't factor that in here. Take your feelings out because there's a lot of evidence here. Now, the part that's very important to me here is, as you know, Owen, you and I, you being close to Alex, me being close to Roger, we were both in D.C. on January 5th and 6th. If you go back, and it's funny because we had this stupid documentary team in the room filming Roger and like a total hit piece that also I never signed any paperwork to be in this thing, but they were filming us. And it's funny because you and I, when we finally got to speak after all of this mishigas, the Secret Service called that room. It was a suite on the fifth floor. And it was yours truly that picked up that phone. Now, this was on that film, but they never showed it. I don't know why. I wonder why.
Well, and you know what's funny about that, too? Not to get you off base, but just so for clarification, And, you know, because I had been traveling to D.C. a lot with Roger, and we were hosting the show together, they would take images from, I think Roger interviewed, me and Roger both interviewed, I think it was Patrick Byrne, Michael Flynn. Like, we were going in and out of D.C. interviewing people at these hotels a lot. But, and so, and this was before January 6th. And then they were taking these photos from months, years before, and saying, oh, look, it's all of them on January 6th. Look, here they are plotting January 6th. And I'm like, that's from 2021. That has not, they didn't even steal the, or that's from 2017. That's from 2018. That's not even, they hadn't stolen the election yet. So just so people understand, we were in D.C. a lot. We were doing interviews in hotels in D.C. a lot. They took advantage of that documentary trying to frame Roger. And then they found any photos they could of Roger in a hotel in D.C. that I happened to be in some. And they said, see, look, this is proof they were doing it. And it had nothing to do with that.
Yeah. And on top of it, the infamous photo, I know you have some of these whack job, I don't know, conspiracy theorists attacking Roger and General Flynn. The first day he ever saw General Mike Flynn face to face was in your suite, Owen. It was Alex's suite where you did the first interview you ever did with General Mike Flynn. And we happened to walk in. We were just saying hello to you guys because we were, that was, you know, we didn't know you just came into D.C. So we were saying hello to you guys. We were all in there. And I took the infamous picture of Roger and General Flynn taking the thumbs up. And
that
then
was
we
you.
Left.
You set me
yeah,
up.
That was me. That was me that took that picture. You're in the background.
I'm just sitting in the background, Rob, I think, Doo's on my phone. And they're like, look, it was a plot. I'm like, dude, we were literally doing an interview.
We got kicked out because you had like 30 people, production team, the entire InfoWars crew was there. There's no room for me and Roger. There's no room for us. So we said hello. We briefly met General Flynn, and that was it. That was the extent of all this. You guys met up. That was it. But what was more important was the next day, Owen, because everyone knows my own case. You know, the NYPD came down on me. I wonder how, because they were communicating with these clowns in D.C. And after I had come back and we were in the hotel room and we gave, there's the picture. And we stopped and we said, you know what? We're not going anywhere, right? That phone rings right around the time when Trump gives his speech and you start to hear things going on. And it's the Secret Service. And, you know, it's the one time I didn't take a name or a number because I hear Secret Service. So I just turn around and tell Roger, hey, are we going to the Capitol? Are we marching there? Are you supposed to go there or something? Who is this person? And that's when Roger said, what are you talking about? We're not doing that. And I just said, yeah, that's not happening. And I closed the phone. And then later on, I learned from you that the exact same thing happened to you with Alex right around that exact same time. It was around, I'd say, between 11:30 and like 12:15 in the afternoon.
Let's Let's hone in on this because this is really... It's like if you're going to talk about a conspiracy to entrap some of the biggest names that supported President Trump that were on Bill Barr's list, this is how it all ties into this reveal by this lady here. If you were going to entrap them, which clearly they had an agenda to, she just proved it, then what would you do? You'd stage an event like they did on January 6th, and you'd try to have these people at the front of that event. And so that's what they did. Now, again, call it God's intervention, call it just media craziness, whatever. When they tried to get me and Alex to lead the whole thing to the Capitol before the Capitol was breached, you know, we took an hour or whatever just to get all our ducks in the row with the production team, the security, you know, people need to take a leak, whatever. And then Alex and I kind of debating what we wanted to do for about 15 minutes before we ultimately decided to stand there for a bit. Yeah, if we would have gone when Secret Service wanted us to go, we would have been arriving right when the breach would have happened. They would have blamed probably the whole thing on us. So what you're saying is they tried to basically get Roger to do the same thing, or was it like they were calling to figure out where he was? Like, hey, we got to get Roger at the front of this too. We got to entrap him.
Correct. We always assumed after the fact. And remember, I couldn't talk to Roger for a year because of this NYPD nonsense. You can't talk to someone with a criminal record, but they're hanging out with a known human trafficking drug dealer up there in the Bronx. But they told me I couldn't speak to him because when I finally did a year later, you know, he was telling me, you know, they were trying to get me to go down at that very moment because that's what this sounded like because we all forgot that phone call happened. I answered it. And it just so happened that he said, no, I had no idea. Because everyone's saying, you're Rogers. I'm not Rogers Security. I was his friend. And his actual security, which ended up being those Oathkeeper guys that I just met the day before. I have no idea who they are. They later on went to the Capitol and whatever happened there. But we didn't have any communications with these people short of they were outside the building and we weren't going to leave the building at all. So that's what ended up happening that day with that entrapment. Now, when you fast forward of everything that happened, there was the FBI investigation. There was the NYPD investigation. They were involved with me because I'm a law enforcement person, all right? Then later on, it was a January 6th committee. So when you factor all of this in, and now I was told at this time from somebody high up, I'm never going to mention names, that it was a Washington think tank that thought up of all this nonsense you saw. This whole spectacle they put on, remember that made-for-TV ABC stuff with the committee? So when we see her notes, and it's very important to notice, I mean, Kyle Serafin, who's a good friend of ours too, he could tell you this. When they say subject, in the NYPD, a subject in an investigation is the target, meaning you're the sole perpetrator or perpetrator subjects. But when they write target, target means the target. You're the actual perpetrator they want. Now, in this case, Owen, we already went through my own case. There was never any evidence of any criminality. Short of the fact that everybody just so happened to be around the same area, around the same times, and who was pictured with who and rubbing elbows, there's a million people there. They used that whole guilt by association, right? Because you saw the three names they put. They said Stuart Rhodes, who I've never met before, Enrique Tarrio, who I've seen in person a couple of times, but I know he's friends with Roger. Good guy. In my opinion, he's a good guy. Some people don't like him, you know, whatever. And then Roger, those three they were targeting for that whole, oh, they planned this whole thing. Meanwhile, all three of them are well known to have never been near this building, nowhere near the grounds. I have no idea how they came up with this. But now you know by watching this and what this woman is saying, she's clearly laying out Bill Barr was planning this way back. We don't even know how far back it is. Way back when, because it said the notes, wants to talk to Merrick Garland, who's the DOG, he's the head of DOG at that time, and then voila, you have the FBI and the January 6th committee with Liz Cheney, who hates Roger, by the way. She hates Alex and Roger. That's a fact. She put that whole spectacle on there. And I remember getting subpoenaed by the same people right after my trial. And I'll tell you another thing, Owen. When this was going on, you remember this New York Times, and this guy writes hit pieces in New York Times against any Trump surrogate or Trump. And so he wrote an article at that time, and I went down to be to go to the January 6th committee hearing, whatever it is, the deposition for me. And in this deposition, they had asked me a question about something that came on, this Friends of Stone signal chat that had like a bunch of people in it that basically just people posting like articles that were either in favor of Roger or Trump or like try to disseminate information.
Yeah,
kind
of
like
these,
that.
It's one of these messaging app groups that's just like, it just, you know, it gets out of control.
Yeah, you get thrown in it, and you don't even know who the hell the leader is. You just know you're in there with a bunch of people. So they asked me a question about this. They said, oh, according to this article that came out, there's a Friends of Stone chat. First they said it was Telegram. It wasn't. It was Signal. And then, you know, they asked me, I go, what are you talking about? I don't even know. If anyone was in that chat, who the hell knows? Because it's like I would see things that you get chat, like text from people that are like so long. Like, there's so much, like, days you've missed that you're like, whatever. So, I don't know. You look in the chat, and there was nothing criminal in this thing anyway. No one was plotting anything. Just like I said, you know that article didn't come out until 3 days or 4 days later. So, this person from the January 6th committee, his lawyer, was asking me a question of something that was in the works. Meaning, so the New York Times or someone's coordinating with other people, which would make sense because, I mean, Armstrong Williams would be someone who is good for messaging. So if you watch her video later on, she says he went in the building. And that's funny because we know people that were journalists, right? They went in the building. They got charged like they were trespassing. But I guess Armstrong didn't, which is another story. They said you were on the Capitol grounds, which you weren't. I think you were on the side telling people don't go in there. And they were trying to say you went in the building. So all of this adds up. And to see the word target and how they handled this and what has transpired. And Owen, you and I, our lives are forever changed. Mine could technically be tarnished. They threw me out of the police department. They made me into some insurrectionist. I've never been to this building. I had no part in this. And to be honest, Owen, I think by the grace of God, the only reason Roger's not in any kind of legal jeopardy or whatever was because I was there and I testified and gave him the truth. And it's hard to go around a cop who has all these accolades that never lied and testified and put everyone in prison. Well, I had no reason to lie. Everything I said was true.
Let's kind of get a little more detail oriented here so that people can get a full understanding. And then I'll kind of ask you the pivotal question. The event that day, Trump's speech at the Ellipsis, and maybe it's worth kind of building a timeline here.
Mm-hmm.
And I won't say some of the other names of the individuals that were involved, but they were good people. At that time, it was so people in the Republican Party and right wing politics were very scared. They were very scared. They didn't want to talk about the election being stolen. And they really had no interest in pushing back against it. They didn't. They were all scared. Now, of course, times have changed. Now they'll all say the election was stolen. But back then, they were scared. They didn't want to. So when we were doing this initial push, there were only a small handful of individuals that wanted anything to do with it. And I will say to their credit, and I just won't name their names right now because I don't know if they still want to be involved in this discussion, and I didn't see them on that list. But to their credit, the few individuals that said no, we want to be involved in this Stop the Steal. What can we do? All right, let's secure a pass for a stage on the Capitol grounds. So they helped us get a pass for the stage, and they secured some other funding so that we could set up a platform and have a stage too. So I know Alex invested a lot of time and money, I think, in that process, and then there were some other people that helped organize. But the point is now, so. All of that to say, this wasn't like a mainstream deal. This was just a couple of brave patriots that said, hey, they stole this election from Trump. We're not afraid to say it. Now, at the time, us getting access to the White House in this degree was pretty rare. And I don't know if I would even say it was like they weren't allowing us access or if we even tried. But it was like, oh, now we are like, the people. Like, now it's like, we're the people. And so they put us in the front row of Trump's speech that day. The front row. Like, this is not something they normally do. They don't give us, this is not some exclusive access that they give us and say, okay, you're going to be in the front row of Trump's speech. So it's like, oh, okay, some recognition for the work we're putting in here while everybody else is sticking their tail between their legs like a bunch of cowards. We're putting our necks out there to try to stop the steal. And so it's like, oh, okay, all right, we'll be in the front row. And so I was supposed to be sitting next to Roger that day. I think maybe he had some different instincts that told him, I'm not going down. I'm not doing it. And there were a couple other individuals that I think had similar instincts that were next to us at the time, too. Like the Gateway Pundit had seats next to us. And they were like, yeah, I don't have a good feeling about this. Roger the same way. Well, okay. I look back on it now with all these details, and it's like, the only time we get this access, the only time we got Secret Service trying to run us, the only time they want us at the front of a major Trump event, they want us at the front of a major event, not just us organically doing it, but it's like the White House and the Secret Service. So it's like, here, let's take you backstage. Here, lead the march. Hey, call Roger. Where's Roger at? He was supposed to be right there. They were supposed to get both of us to lead the march. And then again, an hour goes by, whatever, we're just getting organized. The thing was breached by the time we ever got there. It was already out of control. So now I look at this and I'm like, at the time, say the Spidey senses were already like, was this an entrapment effort? Like, I don't know. Maybe it's just me being paranoid. Maybe it's just my conspiracy theory side. I don't know. Kind of feels weird. Now you see this and it's like, wow. I mean, now I'm like 80, 90%. Like, yeah, that was a straight up attempt to put Alex and put Roger and myself and others at the front of that march. Correct. so that at the exact time when probably their guys on the ground breached the gates, we'd be right there and they'd say, bing, they did it, and they'd have us in jail for 20 years.
That's exactly what I believe the plan was. It's you could clearly see it. And by the way, the only reason Roger wasn't there, I had left early with one of his security guards to try to get the – I didn't have the – we had no tickets. You need tickets to get in. So when I got there – and it's stupid because it's in the NYPD investigation. The guy I was with, the security guy, didn't know how to talk to the Secret Service agent that has a long gun, by the way. He's a cop. He's not a Secret Service. You know, they have their own police there, Secret Service police. So I had to show my ID so he didn't turn around and shoot us. So when he saw my ID, he saw it was a friendly, and I asked the simplest questions. I said, we're supposed to have tickets. Do you know where to go here? And in all honesty, this guy might have saved everybody's time and said, I'm going to be honest with you. He's Secret Service. He doesn't even know what the hell's going on with the rally. And I went straight back to Roger and said, I want out of here. This does not feel good. This look good. If the Secret Service doesn't know what's going on, that doesn't bode well. I'm a cop. So that's the truth of what happened. It's well documented. People like to ignore this. But when I see something like this, Owen, if any of this is true, and it definitely starts to point that way, Bill Barr needs his own subpoenas. The way Letitia James got his, Bill Barr and maybe Armstrong Williams, whoever else is involved in this, these dirty prosecutors, this January 6th committee, because you ruin people's lives. You ruin my life. I don't have a career anymore because I guess I supported the wrong presidential candidate and his friend with the wrong person that you guys don't seem to like. But that's not America. So I'm saying if he's involved, he needs to be investigated immediately, because that was the cause of many people, some that are no longer here today. They prosecuted people and they killed themselves because of this stuff.
I think there were at least three J6 defendants that committed suicide.
There were some that did not even step foot in the grounds there. And this guy, we know Bill Barr, he was involved with the Bushes for many years. So he's definitely someone who's entrenched and we'll say in the operation there in D.C. You know, he's been a swamp creature a long time. And I remember when Roger was being prosecuted, remember what he said? Oh, the 7 to 9 years, I don't agree with this. If you remember, you go back, Bill Barr had a lot to say about Roger in particular. So now it's funny how he's targeting Roger, yet there was never any evidence of any wrongdoing on his part or anyone that he was with. The security guys, they went in the building. That's a trespass, whatever they did, but we met those guys the day before. We don't know who the hell they are. They're just random guys doing security. But the rest of the apparatus that was with us, we stayed in a hotel. We're just regular people. We don't know what's going on. And if he's the guy behind this, Owen, I think even Alex needs to call for this guy to get investigated, because this guy's ruined a lot of lives with his BS.
Well, I think the obvious thing that needs to happen, and this is just the path of least resistance, let's say, we need to have a congressional hearing, and correct. I would tie it all in to the fact that the January 6th committee erased all the evidence illegally before handing it over to the Republican leadership. So I would just kind of put it under that umbrella now, and I'd call that young girl, I forget her name, the Brazilian girl, I'd call her to testify.
Patricia.
I'd call Barr to testify if they want to call Armstrong to testify. I don't really know if that's a relevant testimony or not. But I would say it needs to fall under that umbrella. These congressional testimonies need to happen sooner than later. But this is a big deal. We're talking about entrapment at the highest levels involving multiple different departments and agencies.
Yeah, and I know people may not like us per se, but this could be you. So I hope people do care about this.
What are you talking about? Everybody likes us. Come on now. We're the most likable guys in media, Sal. Give yourself more credit.
Yeah.
You were just telling me that you had a brain disease, and what did you do to fix it?
I found this guy, he's a functional medicine guy, and he got me on methylene blue, and that instantly stopped everything.
I'd take it.
Okay.
Yeah.
I take it every day as well.
And yeah, RFK Jr. told me about it.
Yeah, man, it's fantastic. And so this guy's injecting in 1890, injects these rats with it, and then does an autopsy on these things. And their brain, the brainstem, every single nerve is blue. So he discovered this methylene blue has an affinity for neuronal tissue. So he says, well, it's sucking into neurons and working in the body. So we started putting it in humans. And we found out it's an MAOI, which helps with depression and anxiety and all kinds of life stress and stuff. It is so incredible that it acts as an electron donor to mitochondria, especially your neuronal mitochondria. So it helps you produce more ATP, and it helps you get rid of this stuff called reactive oxygen species. So you have an oxygen molecule, it should have two hydrogens on it, and like your body's job is to convert stuff into water so you can pee it out. So if you get an oxygen molecule, it's got 4, 5, 1, it's a reactive oxygen, which we call free radicals. So methylene blue goes in there and balances a lot of those things out in your brain and your nervous system. So it is a miracle, and it's been proven for 100 years. It's one of the most well-proven drugs out there.
The strongest medical-grade methylene blue, and this is what I'm on. Total mitochondria cleaning, next-level energy. This is amazing. And you want to know what I'm on? Iris CMOS Shilajit. This right here, look at that. That is power. I'm on intermittent fasting. I'm 8 to 3 o'clock today. And I stopped eating crap food, stopped drinking. That's what I'm on right there, baby.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.